I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. The Steppes Are the Color of Sepia, a Mennonite Memoir, is an interesting book written by my guest now. This book is a fascinating journey by its author, who with documents, letters, and photographs takes us on a trip through her roots, from her ancestral history back in the grasslands of the Russian Empire to the Fraser Valley, to the events of the 20th century where Europe is in upheaval thanks to Stalin and Hitler. The author is Connie Braun, who began writing this book after her father approached her with two cassettes he'd made, saying, "I'd like you to write this down. It's my story." The book speaks to dispossession, the refugee and immigrant experience, as it does about the documenting of one's family history and finding oneself. The book is published by Ronsdale Press and retails for $21.95. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Connie Braun. Good morning, Ms. Braun.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Your father, Peter, when was it that he came up to you and with those cassettes and asked you to tell his story?
Well, he had been making those cassettes on some drives that he had been taking to the Okanagan, where he does business. And around this time, my maternal grandmother had passed away. And it was just shortly after her funeral that he had presented me with those tapes and had asked me to write his story down.
How old was he?
He was about 69 years old.
And how long ago was this?
He will be turning 78. So, the last decade, about 10 years, this process took me about 10 years.
Was this a process that you welcomed, or was this something that you sort of did because he's your dad?
Both of those things. I have always been interested in memoir, even as a child. I've always been interested in my parents' history, partly because it was fragmented and a little bit mysterious to me, but it's also so much a part of me in food and language and those kinds of things. But I also did it because he asked me to, and that was probably the most worrisome aspect of this whole thing. I really wanted to honor his request, and I wanted to honor his history and my history as well. So there was quite a bit of a sense of responsibility that came along with the request.
Did you grow up in a particularly expressive family?
No, not particularly expressive. Not demonstrative in the way of that we were tactile or anything, but definitely it was a loving home, just in the way that our parents provided for us, cared about what we were doing. And our family also, as we were growing up, we were a little bit unusual in some of the Mennonite families, in that we did a lot of things together as family holidays, skiing. My dad is an adventurous sort of person, so we were doing those kinds of things.
Was it a surprise to you that Peter came up to you and asked you to do this?
Yes and no. I think I was aware that, he had told us bits and pieces of the story as we were growing up. And the stories and the memories were always the same ones. So when he did ask, I knew that those memories had shaped him, and I think that I was just acutely aware of it was time. It's just time to talk about the past and about difficult memories.
So tell me about being Mennonite. Some people think it's related to being the Dukhobors or something
that. Yeah, well, that's very interesting, because that was one of the hurdles that we had to overcome with the book. And if you see the cover, it has the Ukrainian steppes on it. Some of the first covers were pictures that were stereotypical pictures of what one thinks of in terms of Mennonites, people with bonnets and things like that. So the Mennonite history dates all the way back to the Reformation. And there are just different strains of this pacifist group that have evolved over time.
And where was your father born?
He was born in Ukraine.
And it's a Mennonite family, is that right?
Yes,
that he
definitely
was born into. Your grandfather, he was a spiritual leader, was he?
He was a pastor in the Mennonite church in Russia, yes.
So this was a big deal for your father to grow up in this, like that the faith, the religion, obviously played a part, did it?
Definitely, yeah. And I think for most of the people that come from that heritage and from that place, ethnicity and religion are interwoven, and it's very much ingrained in who they are.
Was that the same for you growing up?
I don't think so much. I think we've acculturated. We did belong to a Mennonite church growing up. I went to a Mennonite church. So that was part of who I was, too, the teaching of the church and so on. But probably not so much for me and in our generation as it was for my parents' generation.
And there's something interesting in the book where you say that and I don't know if this is the case about your dad, but certainly for, well, I don't know if it was you or you, who wrote this, who said this, I should say, that you don't identify yourself as being Ukrainian or Russian.
Correct.
That the Mennonite, being Mennonite was what you identified with.
Right, correct. Because they weren't ethnic Ukrainian. They weren't ethnic Russian. The Mennonite people had migrated. They were people of migrations. So they had migrated from Prussia in the early 1700s. And the reason for that was religious freedom, and ironically, that was taken away from them in Russia.
So take us on this journey. How did Peter leave the Ukraine?
Their family left the Ukraine in 1943 with the retreat of the German army. In 1941, the German army occupied Ukraine, and they lived under the occupation for the 2 years. And because of their Mennonite heritage, the religious heritage, the German-speaking aspect of being Mennonite, all these things were, for them, a marker and a target for Stalinism. And a lot of these people were exiled to the Gulag. And so those that were left during the when the Nazi Germany actually came marching into Ukraine, those that were left, they were under the governance of the Germans in Ukraine. And when the Germans retreated, they went with them because they feared being taken into exile when the Russians came back into Ukraine.
So they fled to where?
They were taken first to Germany, and a lot of them were dispersed to various German-occupied territories and used as labor in those countries. And my father, in particular, his family ended up in Yugoslavia, actually. And then that territory, at the close of the war, Germany capitulated, and it was Russian-occupied again. So it was very dangerous.
In terms of what they left behind in the Ukraine, was it much? Were they wealthy in the Ukraine? Or?
No, by this time, they were all poor. Their farms had been collectivized all during the 20s and 30s, and basically they had nothing. A house to live in, maybe a little garden, that kind of a thing.
This sort of stuff about what happened as they were fleeing and as they were going to Germany, to Yugoslavia, was this stuff that you heard when you were a kid? Is this something that they talked about?
No, they didn't talk about this. These were the darker aspects, more difficult aspects. And in fact, when I started to write the story, I actually got up to that point, and then I had to take some time away because as I was recovering that part of the story from my dad, I was very concerned about, maybe recurring bad memories or how it would affect him. But he was ready to tell it, and I negotiated it very carefully.
As someone who would document their family history, how do you do that? How do you draw someone out through an obviously painful time?
I think they have to be ready for it, and that's what one has to just respect the time and the temporal distance that needs to take place between an event like that and being able to talk about it. And some people aren't able to talk about it, and that needs to be respected as well. And then, I think there are parts of the story where you do want to draw out more information, and you carefully ask the questions if they seem to be ready to talk. And in my case, my dad was ready to talk about it. So we would meet for coffee, and I would, when things weren't clear to me, I would ask him, well, could you maybe describe this a little bit more for me? And the memory started to come back, and the details started to come back, which were very helpful.
Does the relationship change between a father and a daughter when one is writing the other person's history? Like, did you become sort of subject and author rather than father and daughter at some point?
I think there was a bit of both of that. I mean, I tried to keep the objectivity, which is a little hard, and that's why in the memoir I sort of weave our voices together. Sometimes he's speaking, and then sometimes I reflect on what he says. So there was a bit of both of that, but father and daughter, definitely.
How did this book come about in terms of being published?
Well, first of all, I had given the manuscript to my dad for his 75th birthday, and we had made some copies, and he had given them to some of his friends, and I was really surprised and taken back and quite honored by the responses that we received by it. And my dad just was so pleased, and he asked for more copies, and I said, well, you know, Dad, how about if we try to see if we can't get this published? And he just thought that was a wonderful idea. So I had known about Ronsdale Press and the kind of work they do, and I sought them out. So I thought that would be a wonderful venue for a story like this.
And back to the family story for just a sec here. How did you all end up in the Fraser Valley?
My dad arrived here in 1948 in the Fraser Valley. You know, I'm not exactly sure. I think, well, first of all, they all had to have sponsors before they left Germany or Austria. In the case of my dad, they had to have sponsors in Canada, and his parents sought out sponsors. There were migrations of Mennonites to Canada, some in the 20s and 30s during the Stalinist repression. Some got out, and of those people, relatives had gotten out and had come to Canada, and some lived in Manitoba and some lived in BC. And when my grandparents requested sponsorship, they responded and paid for the passage. And then when my dad came, part of his job as a young person was to repay that passage money. So they had sponsors here.
Now, in 05, you and your dad, was it just the two of you, or were there more people?
It was my husband and my three children and my mom and my dad.
How old are your kids?
At the time, or currently, they're in their 20s right now.
So when you go over there, mm-hmm. you went back to the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you? You obviously had most of the story down that you'd written, right?
Right.
And so going back with your dad, what was that like?
It was the most affirming experience, because I realized, and when you're writing, you know, from people's memories, you wonder, well, how accurate am I? How accurate did I capture this? And in the case of my dad's village, it just astounded me to know that when we got there, and he hadn't walked through it since he left, and we were walking through it together for the first time, and everything that he said where it was, he was correct. His memory was just amazing. So that was a very good experience for me, just in having been able to capture his memories accurately. And then also for all of us just to, you know, see the people there, see children in the villages, and just be able to envision what it might have been like for him at that time.
And for your kids, who obviously grew up in this part of the world, mm-hmm. with this book, with going back, do they find that it's a part of them as well? I mean, it's obviously a part of them, but do they realize that, perhaps?
I think they realize that they have been shaped by world history in the presence of their grandfather, and I think that's been very impactful for them, because, you know, World War II history and history of Russia and all of that seems so distant and so far away, but it brought it closer to them. And I think they also, I mean, they identify themselves as Canadians, for sure. They're not even sure about the religious aspect of being Mennonite, but I think what it brought closer to them is the ethnic aspect of being Mennonite.
What do you think the reader should take away from this book? You obviously want your dad's story to resonate to the reader. But in terms of the, it's more than that. It's also this process that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, what stands out for you?
Well, I think for me, being able to understand a previous generation, or even those people, maybe refugees, or those people whose experiences have been so different from us, just to be able to try to understand, you know, bridging gaps, I think, is what I wanted this book to be about.
And the reaction to the book has been what? It's been out for a couple months now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have you heard from readers?
I have, and the interesting part to me is it doesn't matter what background you have. If you are a first-generation person growing up in a country and like Canada, and your parents have come from somewhere else, this kind of a story resonates with them, because it's about learning a little bit more about, you know, where you came from and what shaped you.
And for Peter, this the book's publication must please him.
I think he's pleased. Yeah, I think he's pleased.
Continued good luck with this book, Connie. It's a fascinating one, and congratulations on it.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about it.
Thanks for joining us. The book is called The Steps of the Color of Sepia, a Mennonite Memoir, $21.95 from Ronsdale Press. Connie Braun on the line. I'm Joseph Funa.